Right, good morning, Hope Church, and good morning those who are joining online as well. I'm going to wait for my slides to come up. Oh, perfect. Right, let's start with a bang. So my title is No Imposter Syndrome Here. So a very, very bold title for what I hope to be a bold message as well. And, you know, the theme is embracing our identity in Christ and rejecting the lies of insecurity and self-doubt. So we had a beautiful time of worship this morning, focusing on God and, you know, declaring who God is. Oh, the question is, and what follows from that is, you know, do we know who we are? You know, as children of God, do we know who we are? And when I'm talking about imposter syndrome, it's this feeling that actually I do believe that each of us have experienced at some point in our lives and in various areas. But that feeling of just being a bit out of depth, that feeling of, you know, being a fraud or feeling inadequate and unqualified. And, you know, sometimes in public places we wear masks and, you know, underneath that mask there's that deep feeling of, I don't know what I'm doing and I hope no one figures out that actually I'm not as confident as I think I am or I'm not as whatever as I'm putting on. So that deep sense of insecurity. And I'm going to give a few examples of how it can affect us in different areas. And, you know, as I said, I think it affects all of us at some point. If there's anyone here who has never, ever felt a little bit of self-doubt, then I'm happy to be corrected. And you can talk to me afterwards because that must be like a fantastic experience. But I'm just going to spend a bit of time thinking about how it sort of affects us. And, you know, I'm an open book, so I'm going to give an example of how it affected me. So you can see here, this is a picture of, or two pictures, of my beautiful family. And first of all, I need to make something clear because I don't want anybody to be confused here because I know there are two men in that picture, right? I want to make it clear, I do not have two husbands. Okay, I only have one husband, my wonderful husband over there, John. The other male in the picture is my brother. So this is a picture of us on a family holiday in April. So myself, John, our two boys, my brother and his boy, and we went to Turkey. And on this day, we went to a theme park. And you know when you go to theme parks, you get these bands that they give you. You get it at like all-inclusive resorts and concerts and stuff like that. So we had those bands, went to the theme park, we had a lovely time, it was great. Later on, after we finished at the theme park, we went to a restaurant to have a meal. We ordered our food and everyone's chatting, and whilst I was talking with my brother and John, the kids were talking about removing the bands. And before I even really knew what was happening, my eldest Judah just put the band in his mouth and tried to rip it off. And then he just held out his hand and a tooth had come out. And it was one of his baby tooth and it had just started to wobble, but like clearly it wasn't quite ready to come out. And he was quite traumatized. And I was quite traumatized. And we managed to, you know, sort it out and enjoy the rest of our day. Went home. At the end of the day, after the kids went to bed, I turned to John and my brother and I sort of gathered them together and I said, right, now that we, you know, have a minute, can we just sit down and just talk about what a terrible mum I am? And just like all the ways that I'm just crap at this parenting process. And you know, saying it now, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't feel like that now. But you know, in that moment, it felt very, very real. I felt like an imposter. I felt like I had failed my child. And, you know, this was something that, you know, because I couldn't prevent something that I had no idea would happen. You know, there was no sort of logic or reasoning behind that. But that feeling at that time was very, very real. So that is one example that comes to mind personally when I think about that imposter syndrome. And you might think that's quite, I guess, a dramatic sort of jump to get to. But in case you don't know, I am quite a dramatic person. So when I feel these feelings, I feel these feelings. So hence why I made such a drastic jump. But you know, as I said, I think it's quite common for parents generally to feel like this at some point. You know that motto, you know, fake it till you make it. You know, I remember in my early 20s, mid-20s, I would say that was my motto. I would say, I live by that, you know, fake it till you make it. And you might feel like that if you're, you know, starting a new job or, you know, you've just been promoted. Maybe an older adult returning to studies later on in life. I see this at work, and actually, I think last year I had two students studying postgraduate law who were in their 90s. And you know, one of them couldn't hear properly, and they couldn't see the projector properly, and they're in this class surrounded by 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, and you know, obviously they would have that feeling of inadequacy. I can't really do this. All of these people here are better than I am. I know we have a lot of teachers in here, so I don't know if you know, you've ever felt, you know, am I actually making a difference here? Is what I'm doing actually making a difference? And even if in our faith, you know, new Christians, you might have that feeling sometimes that, you know, actually I don't think I quite measure up. Older Christians may be struggling with doubt, and you know, maybe there's a sin that they're struggling with, and they think, you know, maybe actually I'm a bad Christian. Church leaders or people who volunteer their lovely time serving, you know, you might have those feelings of feeling a bit unworthy of leading or influencing others. You know, I don't think I've ever stood here and said, I'm one of the leaders of this church. Why not? Is there a little bit of imposter syndrome in there? I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to reflect after this sermon. But, you know, we can feel all of these feelings at some point in our life. And fortunately, or yeah, I guess fortunately I can say, we're not the only ones who experience these feelings. We do have examples in the Bible of people who have also felt a similar way as we sometimes feel. So I'm going to pull out a few examples. So of course, Moses. So most people know the story of Moses. God said, I'm going to use you to get my people out of Egypt. And we see in Exodus 4, verse 10, you know, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And for my mathematicians here, you'll notice I've got the greater than sign. So in that moment, Moses' focus, his spotlight, all his attention moved from what God said, from God's view, and it shifted to his own inadequacies. That was what was real to him at that point, his inadequacies. Another example, and we have Gideon. So years later, when you know, God appeared to Gideon to deliver his people from the oppression of the Midianites, and let's see the response. So when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon replied, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And Gideon replied, pardon me, my Lord. I love how polite he is. But pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Now, when God approached him, he called him mighty warrior, because that is what he was, that is what he would be, mighty warrior. But again, Gideon's truth was not what God said, mighty warrior, but actually his poor background. I am the least of the least. That was his truth. And I'll give one more example, Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah said, alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. We've heard that one before, haven't we? I am too young. So again, not looking at what God said, but the focus and the truth was on his inexperience and his youth, his age. And each of those three examples, these are, you know, powerful men who were called by God, and God equipped them despite their insecurities, despite what they believed about themselves. God equipped them, and actually they achieved what God asked them to achieve because God was with them. And, you know, that should highlight to us that God doesn't necessarily call the confident. Now, it's okay to be confident. It's a good